Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another hashtag Women in Tech series. I am Claudia, aka Miss Copywriter, and I am joined by Natasha Saeed, who is the founder of Unboxed. So today we are actually going to get into a little bit about her journey, what it takes to be a woman in tech, and a little bit of a reveal, like an unboxing hint of what she has going on with Unboxed. So Natasha, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Awesome. So so the viewers can kind of get an understanding of who you are and what you bring to the table. Can you give us a little bit of background as far as how you came up and eventually landed into the tech space?
Yeah, sure. So my father was a computer scientist. And so I grew up kind of just fiddling around with this hardware. He was a business intelligence guy. And so I remember I'd be poking around in SQL all the time. I think I learned to program in SQL at a very young age. And that was just a natural progression to me getting into computer science. I was actually born and raised in Canada. So I'm a true Vancouverite.
All right.
A lot of people move there later, but I was born there and I'm very proud of that. And so, yeah, that's where I went to college. I got my degree in computer science. I focused on software engineering and machine learning. So didn't go the BI route like my father, but tried something different there. And then got out of college and I went to work on the FIFA 14 game for the PS3 platform. And then I was in the smart city and smart building space. And then 2 years ago, I actually moved out to the Bay Area. And in the day, I actually worked as a healthcare tech product manager while I bootstrap Unboxed. And then for Unboxed, about 8 months into coming out here, I went to see this documentary called Debugging the Gender Gap. And it goes to younger girls in the United States and I asked them what they want to be when they grow up.
Yeah.
Range of things. And one common theme is they're not really aspiring to go into STEM. And so when they're asked, you know, why not grow up and be, you know, go into technology or something, or become a doctor or an analyst or something like that. These girls answer with, oh, you know, we see those women in the media and they're very nerdy and they're antisocial and we don't want to grow up and be like that.
Right.
So I'm watching this and I'm like, well, that sucks. I just got stereotyped right now. I'm not like that. I know so many women that aren't like that. What can I do to change that? So I actually started off with a Humans of New York style blog called Women of STEM. And I would interview women in STEM fields and I would share out their stories. And that was great. I had actually two girls reach out to me saying they switched their majors in college.
Wow.
After reading some of the stories because they were less intimidated by STEM fields. But the more women I interviewed, the more this common theme emerged about how the media will disassociate beauty and intelligence. Mm. So the media has created two narratives for young girls. You see the popular girl that's quote unquote pretty, whatever that means. And everyone loves her. Everyone wants to be like her, but she's not aspiring to become a physicist or find a cure for cancer. And then you also have those girls that are aspiring to find cures for cancer, become physicists, but they're always portrayed as being, again, antisocial and nerdy and unappealing. And like, they don't have a lot of friends. A lot of the time they're bullied and young girls actually think they have to fit one or the other stereotype.
Right.
So for example, I was interviewing the head of product over at PayPal and she was telling me about a group of sixth grade girls that came into her office one day and she was showing engineering, and one of the girls raises her hand and says, well, no, you can't be an engineer because you're wearing lipstick and you have nice hair.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, and one other interesting stat that I read recently is that in elementary school, 70% of young girls believe they can succeed at math and science. Mm-hmm. That percentage goes down to 0.4% by the time they're in high school. And then of that 0.4%, 20% of those girls end up getting degrees. And of that percentage, only 24% of women actually pursue long-term STEM careers.
Wow.
And that is
a big, big gap.
That is the gap that we're working with. And that's insane to me. And so I started doing research on these stereotypes and this problem. And that's sort of what made me want to rebrand and kind of rethink about what I'm doing. And I saw that, you know, I studied like a lot about, you know, what do high school girls and young college girls, what publications do they like to read, you know, and they're very much on the side of Cosmo and Vogue and Glamour and Refinery 29 and BuzzFeed and those sorts of things. And what do STEM media publications look like? And there's this huge gap there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the gap that I'm trying to fill with Unboxed. And so it's a monthly digital magazine. That's our first product. It's kind of like the Vogue for STEM. And so I highlight women in STEM fields. Everyone in the magazine has a STEM-based background, but it airs more on the side of lifestyle and fashion. So girls can see different kinds of personalities and a variation of personalities within STEM fields.
Wow. I mean, that's commendable and amazing. I mean, I'm sure as far as the audience that you're trying to reach with Unboxed, of course, you know, young girls, do you find that it's more moms that are kind of encouraging their kids and a part of being a part of Unboxed and understanding it as a publication and as a culture, right? Of just women in STEM, or are you finding it's maybe an older demographic of women who might be interested in getting into the tech space or a career change?
Actually, very surprisingly, it's college girls.
Yeah.
College girls absolutely love it because they are tired, I feel like, of seeing the same people on the cover of all of these magazines and the cover of brands. It feels like it circulates through all the Kardashians and boom, you're at the end of the year and the new year starts. And then you have like seven Kardashians on the cover of it. They're smart girls. They want to go do something. They just have a problem of like, well, not really a problem, but they struggle with like finding relatable women in certain fields. Right. And this brings relatable women in STEM fields. And so that opens up the door for being chemists and psychologists and behavioral scientists and engineers and doctor and all of these things. And they look and they're like, wow, these women, like, they actually like, they go out and they hang out and they have friends and, you know, they like to dance or sing or whatever, you know, they're just not those one dimensional characters you've seen growing up. And so that's been great. I've had girls reach out to me saying, hey, how can we promote this on campus? Like, this is great. It's like you're building a whole new generation of girls to look up to. And I think that's extremely powerful.
Absolutely. And it sounds like Unboxed, just from a platform, is giving that window, like you're saying, to that ideal, you know, they're going into college or getting ready to transition into college or maybe going into corporate. And Unboxed is able to meet them there and say, hey, you can continue. It's almost like a boost of encouragement, you know?
Exactly.
Wow. And did you find in coming up with putting together Unboxed, have you found that some of the interviewees have had their own challenges? And if so, I guess, what are they doing to overcome? Because of course, you know, also being in tech, I totally get it. It's a very white male dominated space. Yeah. And so what challenges have either you seen or you've had your interviewees maybe bring about in the interview process or in the discussion?
Well, I'm sure you've heard this before, but imposter syndrome is huge. Feeling like, you know, even if you did something right or you're qualified for something, like feeling guilty about taking credit for it, not wanting any attention on it. So that's big. I have that too all the time. I always try and deflect whenever it's like, whenever anyone is like, oh, good job. I'm like, no, it was the team.
Don't do that.
It was everyone.
Absolutely.
Everyone did a good job. That person doesn't know me, but they did a good job too. So let's not look at me. And so that's huge. And a lot of women sort of talk about that. And I think the best thing with that is, well, first of all, we've identified it as an issue. And you don't know there's an issue until you learn what it is and learn to fix it. You can't fix something you don't, that's wrong, right? And so now just consciously like catching myself in those moments, and a lot of women have said this as well, is very helpful. One thing, again, being the only person in the room a lot of the times, the only person that looks like me, the only woman, a lot of women get that. For me, I think the hardest thing was, so this always happens and I don't know why, and I know a lot of women have faced this, but this is something I personally struggled with a lot. So I go into the meeting. I'm one of whatever many, I'm the only girl in the room out of God knows how many men. Mm-hmm. I say something and then there's silence and there's 10 seconds of silence. No one says anything. And then some other guy is like, so anyways, and then everyone just jumps back right into it. And you're like, wait, am I a lie? Like, is this like ghost talking? Is this a surreal like experience or something? Did you not hear me? Was I not loud enough? And you get all these things in your head. And honestly, I wish that if whatever I said was wrong, people would just tell me. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no problem in front of 20 people, someone being like, hey, that's actually the wrong way to think about it because of X, Y, and Z reasons, because at least I learned something.
Like, exactly.
I don't want to be the smartest person in the room, because then I'm in the wrong room. And so I'm in this room because I want to learn. So just tell me. But it's that silence, that feeling of invisibility that really just demotivates you, because you're like, well, I could be like, I could just not be here right now and it wouldn't even matter.
Right.
And so trying to just cope with that and sort of get into this mental space of like, no, like I need to speak louder. Like I need to like keep continuing to repeat myself until people get it. Mm-hmm. That's sort of what I had to do, because it was discouraging to a point where I was like, maybe I shouldn't be in tech. Maybe I'm just not smart enough. And that's where your head goes.
Yeah.
Because you think, you're like, maybe I said something so stupid that it didn't even warrant a response.
Right. You know? Right.
But you kind of have to get out of your head for that. And that's hard. It's not easy at all.
No, absolutely. Totally agree. I mean, I've been in meetings myself where it's like all eyes on you. Like you just did, you said something clearly because yes. Everybody's quiet. They're listening.
Yeah.
And then they kind of just go, yeah, okay. Next. Excuse me, no, we need to address this
yeah,
here.
Yeah, like, hello, right here, come on.
Totally.
I don't know if you watched Princess Diaries growing up, but Anne Hathaway, how she felt invisible
yes.
early on, and people would sit on her, and she'd be like, wait, I'm like right here. How are mm-hmm. you sitting on me right now? That's
yes, thing. Yes. No, absolutely. I totally agree with where you're coming from also. We talked a little bit about unboxing and where it's going in its direction, but can we just back up just a little bit? And talk about maybe some of the experiences that you had in college, knowing that you're in, studying computer science and machine learning. Can we talk about a little bit about some of those type of experiences that you saw or maybe that you faced coming up?
Yeah, yeah. So one really interesting one, again, I think it was a moment I realized I was the only women in the room. Mm. So we were all in a data structures and algorithms class, and there must have been 200 other people there, but it didn't occur to me that I was the only woman. And so we're all sitting and something drops on the floor and the class is slanted. Oh. And so the thing drops and you hear it roll down and everyone's like chuckling, and it goes to the feet of the teacher, and the teacher picks it up and he says, whose is this? Mm. And it's a pen, but it's not just any pen, it's a lipstick pen.
Oh,
so it's a pen in the shape of a lipstick with rhinestones, red, shiny rhinestones all over it. And 200 heads turned and looked at me all at once.
Oh.
And I looked up and I look around and I'm like, how is this nobody else's? Like, how does everyone know it's mine? And I'm looking around the room and I'm like, well, of course, because I'm the only woman in the room. Anyways, wow. I took my pen back. I was lipstick pen girl for a while and it was fine. But there's a lot of little things like that that, you know, have happened to me, that have happened to other women. And a lot of young girls start off in STEM and they go into these classrooms and they're literally the only woman in the room or one of two. And they just walk out. They're like, we can't do this anymore.
Right.
And so the hope is that, you know, if I can show them more women have succeeded in STEM and that are working in STEM, then they can hopefully just push through it, you know, and find sort of light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's funny you mentioned the pen. I could just see it rolling. It's like, uh-oh. Kind of like a slow motion type of. That is awesome. So of course we have that experience, and as you're moving through college, and then we're going to come a little bit more present, but as you're moving through college, did you find like a circle of other women in STEM, maybe not exactly comp sci, but in other, avenues of the STEM space, or did you kind of keep a mix of male and maybe a little bit of female type friends?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I maybe was one of three or four girls, not even, that graduated.
Wow.
Some of them were senior to me. And this is particularly computer science. Like there were a lot of girls in biology. There were a lot of girls that were in like behavioral science or psychology. This was particular to engineering, electrical, hardware, software engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up just making friends with the guys.
Yeah. Like,
I grew up being one of the guys. I was the one always on the street playing sports, like ripping up my clothes, my mom being like, what are you doing? Like, this is not okay. And so that was me. And so I was always very comfortable being around guys all the time. And so, so I was friends with them, and it was funny because they were all very, very large for some reason. I was very, very small. And so I ended up getting this nickname of like how I was itty bitty nitty because I was so tiny amongst these massive dudes. And then obviously by the time I got working, that itty bitty fell off and it just ended up becoming nitty. But that's where that nickname comes from.
Awesome.
Yeah. I did have a lot of friends that were girls though, but they were just not in computer science. Yeah. They were in other majors. Yeah.
Got you. No, and I get it. I mean, again, just being in the space, it is a male dominant space. I totally get it. But it seems like in you being in that space has also helped contribute to your resilience and wanting to continue to pursue. Is that accurate?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. You become so resilient. Things just fall off you.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, we're going to move a little bit ahead on with Unboxed. So in Unboxed as a publication, as a digital magazine, what are some of the, I know we, you know, you said in the behavioral science, you know, psych, bio, comp sci, are there other fields that you want to highlight that you have yet to highlight or showcase for other women?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have a lot of tech and a lot of engineering. I would love to get more science. I don't have enough science. More science, please, girls. Especially if anyone and anyone that's in space tech. First of all, I think space tech is the coolest thing on earth.
Right.
So yeah, exactly. And that's the nerd in me talking. And so I don't know any woman in space tech. So if you're in space tech, please reach out to me. If you're a chemist, if you're a geologist, like that's huge. I think geologists are so important right now. I mean, the study came out about how we basically have till 2030 until the world, like climate change in the world basically reverse, like is, you know, it's to a point of no return. And we need to put more, you know, more scientists on the forefront to tell people about like what to do, what not to do, what's important, how do we save the planet, how do we save the earth. And so I would love to have more women like that. So please don't hesitate to reach out either on Unboxed or like my own Instagram handle. I would love to talk to you.
Oh, definitely. We'll put all that information down below so they could definitely reach out to you and get some things scheduled. I have a couple folks in mind for you as well. So we'll wrap after that. So as far as empowerment, right, and building up this next generation coming up behind us, where do you see Unboxed, let's say, 3 years from now? We're not even going to go the 10-year route. Let's just say 3 years from now. Where do you see Unboxed as a publication and its impact for young girls?
I basically, see, well, hopefully, it can grow as a brand online, and it can become like this vogue for STEM, and I could, hopefully turn it into a podcast. I mean, the goal has always been to have a show. One thing I've never understood is, you know, when, shows like Trevor Noah's or Conan O'Brien or all of these other people, they bring on so many stars and movie stars, and that's really cool and all of that. But you also have people that are working on products that, you know, that we use every day, that we use multiple times a day, you know? And so I would love to bring on, like when the iPhone comes out, bring on the woman behind the iPhone and learn about who they are and what their quirks are and stuff and do that. And so the end goal, hopefully, is to actually make it into a talk show.
Oh, that would be awesome. Oh my gosh, that would totally be amazing. No, 3 years from now, forget that. We're going to continue to push Unboxed because Unboxed definitely sounds like is the direction of, like you said, the vogue of tech, the vogue of women in tech, the vogue of STEM. I mean, it's, girl, more power to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So as far as the advice, parting advice that you would give young ladies or women who are maybe looking at transitioning their career into tech, is there something or a message that you would want to tell them or a younger version of you, being that you're also in the tech space as well?
Yeah, I would just want to tell them to not let media discourage them, not listen to the stereotypes that are in the media. There are a lot of, not just of women in STEM, but like just the tech space in general. Don't let people tell you what it's like, because I'm in that space and I'm telling you it's great. You want work-life balance? Work in tech. Mm-hmm. You want a good salary. You know, the highest paid professions are STEM professions. Do you know how frustrating? So my husband he's an investment. He was an investment banker when he started out. And when he finds out what starting computer science grads earn at some of these tech companies and how they have to work half as much and they earn twice as much as him when he started, and they have free vacation or like unlimited vacation, and they have free food, and they have unlimited sick days. Like, he was like, what the hell was I doing?
I picked the wrong profession.
Yeah, well, what the hell? And so, and that's not marketed as much, you know, that's not people like it, they don't market that as much. And so it has this problem. I've had issues as well. Sometimes I've run into, like I've mentioned some of the things I've run into. I run into issues that, of just being in uncomfortable situations, but I managed to work through that. And people were very, very responsive to it. Mm. So I think it's extremely important that you just Don't let the media tell you what it's like, and talk to women that are actually in STEM, and they're going to have a wide range of things to tell you, but it's actually a very, very cool profession to be in.
I agree. Totally. All right. Well, Nidhi, thank you for joining us on hashtag Women in Tech. We are definitely going to link all the goodies that we talked about in this particular session. And definitely reach out to Nidhi on anything related to STEM, or if you just want to say how awesome she was. I think she's totally awesome. I'm biased, but hey, just saying. We are going to wrap. But Nidhi, we definitely want to maybe do a touch point sometime next year just to get a little update on where you are with
Amon. I would love to do a one-year touch point. That's awesome.
Awesome, awesome. Well, again, thank you for coming on, and we will definitely talk to you hopefully next year.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.